It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
My great awakening. What happened to the power of God, like on Azusa Street? A great awakening. All God's glory on display. A great awakening. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Help us to know who you are today. Then nothing stands between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
He responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now, yeah! Let nothing stand between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us. We need to see a change.
Now, here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom Dooley, and good Wednesday, everybody. Good to have you listening on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station around the clock, around the globe. Dale Gentry here, and we're in about our seventh month of broadcasting 24 hours a day, praying for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. So delighted to have you listening. Tomorrow's the National Day of Prayer, and we have a guest on today that we're going to play her prayer that she gave last year on the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C., in preparation for tomorrow. Now, you know, of course, here on BPN Radio, every day is a National Day of Prayer, but we also want to cooperate with those who are calling this nation to pray, calling it the National Day of Prayer, which we've been doing for many, many years. And I'm trusting that churches all across America will be participating, as well as millions of individuals. So it's I'm so delighted to have you here on BPN Radio. I would like to say that Gene and I have returned from Fort Worth, Texas, Calvary Cathedral International, helping the Power Tower Prayer Ministry celebrate 20 years of praying. Over 18 years, they prayed 24 hours a day. Now they pray 16 to 18 hours a day. Betsy Stanton leads that prayer group. And, of course, Pastor Bob Nichols is the pastor of that great church. He's been there now for 51 years. And I had the privilege of helping start the Power Tower on the first Sunday of May in 1995. It was a tremendous weekend, and we had a banquet on Saturday night, and those that have been praying in the Power Tower prayer ministry, taking 1 2-hour prayer shift every week, were honored. And there was special honor given to a group of people that have been praying ever since the Power Tower prayer ministry started in May of 1995. And they've been praying for 20 years, every week for 20 years, which is amazing. And one man who is turning 90 years old has been praying for 20 years. He's been going up the steps of the Power Tower and praying for the past 20 years. Just absolutely amazing. One man who's just retired as a veterinarian, and he would take time out of his practice each week just to go, and he and his wife pray in the Power Tower. It's a wonderful week of ministry, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And so delighted that there are people that are praying, and I just want to salute the Power Tower Prayer Ministry, Calvary Cathedral, Fort Worth, Texas. And all you have to do is just go to calvarycathedral.org, calvarycathedral.org, and you can get information how you can call the Power Tower 24 hours a day, or you can send an email. Between 800,000 and 1 million prayer requests have been received over the past 20 years. These are the days of prayer. We must pray. We must seek the face of God. And so, Father, we come boldly into your presence today by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, here on BPN Radio for the next hour, declaring, God, you are our Father, and we are your sons and daughters. And we pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this broadcast today. The will of God be done in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Lord, anoint our spiritual ears to hear, our spiritual eyes to see, and our heart to receive whatever you want to say to us, whatever you want to speak to us, because we so desperately need you now. I believe in prayer. That's why I'm leading this 24-hour prayer ministry, BPN Radio, around the clock. You can pray with me anytime, day or night. And I started praying in 1966, February of 1966, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said to me, son, if you'll give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life. And so I began to pray. I got up again. I was an engineer at the radio station in Wichita Falls, Texas, KWFT Radio. I got up and began to give God the first time of our day. Had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. But desperate people do desperate things. A few months later, I was called to preach when a prophet by the name of David Wilkerson came to our church. And in a few months, Gene and I were in full-time ministry. In 1967, I began to lead a corporate prayer. I call for all of the young people in that small town of Holiday, Texas, where we were pastoring for our very first time. And for the next 2 years, those teenagers would come to the church before school, and I would pray with them. And then at 9 o'clock in the morning, after they left, I prayed with another group, the women of the church. Gene and I had a ladies' prayer group, and at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so we have been leading corporate prayer ever since. I've been a national prayer leader and prophetic voice for the past 30 years. And so here I am on BPN Radio praying for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. So I'm not only on BPN Radio, but for almost 3 years now, I've been sending out a daily prayer as the Holy Spirit leads me. And you can sign up by going to letspraymerica.com, letspraymerica.com. And if you will sign up, then you will get a daily prayer, and your city will be represented. Here's a note that I thought was interesting from a lady in Baton Rouge. She said, "I'm greetings. I've signed up for letsprayamerica.com, but I don't see a light in my city, Baton Rouge. I heard Dale many years ago at Baton Rouge, in Baton Rouge at Laurel Lee Baptist Church, and it was life-changing for me. I don't want to sign up again and begin getting the daily faith declarations and prayer twice on my computer. I don't blame you. I know others in Louisiana are also on the prayer chain, but no lights in their city either. We're also thankful for Dale's leadership in the area of prayer and want our state to be covered with lights. Please let me know what to do about this. And I will guarantee you that our team will get on that today. And I'm calling for 1,000 lights in America, 1,000 cities, 1,000 churches, 1,000 prayer groups with 1,000 prayer leaders. So 1,000 points of light. And we already have over 1,000 churches represented, believing for 1,000 cities. And we are praying and believing that that the Holy Spirit will just pour out his power upon this nation. So here's what you do. You go to letsprayamerica.com and go to click on map, M-A-P, to make sure that your city is represented by the blue light. If it's not, you do like this prayer, Sally, who wrote, you let us know. We'll make sure that we turn on the light. We're going to play an address, a prayer, by a lady who at the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C., spoke an incredible prayer. And we're going to play that in just a moment. In preparation for the National Day of Prayer tomorrow. And so I love to play prayers from time to time. Before Ann Graham Lotz comes to share her prayer at the National Day of Prayer last year in preparation for the National Day of Prayer this year, here's the Catholic Children's Choir, and they're going to sing Heal Our Nation, and then we're going to have the prayer.
Lord, we long for you to move in power. There's a hunger deep within our hearts to see healing in our nation. Send your Spirit to revive. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would like to read a few words from Scripture. This will be my text for the message this morning. It's taken from the book of Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 1, and I've just selected a few verses to read. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, "Hear this, you elders. Listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your forefathers? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children. Wake up. Wail because of the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. A nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning. The fields are ruined. The ground is dried up. The grain is destroyed. Put on sackcloth. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land and cry out to the Lord. For the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. To you, O Lord, I call." And Father, we do that at this moment. We call on you. We run to you. We cling to you. We cry out to you. And we ask now that you would give us a word. We want to hear from heaven. So we're asking, please, that you would give us ears to hear what you have to say, and a mind to understand, and a heart to receive, and wills to act in obedience to what you say to us this morning. And we ask this in, for the glory of your name and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Have you ever slept through your alarm? If you have, it's a miserable experience, isn't it? Because alarms are meant to wake us up. And several years ago, I was facing a day of many, many meetings. And so the night before, I very carefully set my alarm for 4:30 in the morning because I wanted to have plenty of time before the first session to prepare myself. So the next morning, I woke up and the sun was warming my face, and I was lying in bed thinking, I didn't know the sun was up at 4:30 in the morning. And then it struck me, the sun is not up at 4:30 in the morning. And I looked at my clock. It was 8 o'clock. I had slept through my alarm. I had to scramble. I had to get somebody else to take my first meeting. I had made a mess of my day because alarms are meant to wake us up. So that because we have some place to go, something to do, some person to meet. And I believe the alarms are going off in our nation today. And God is trying to wake us up. And the wake-up message is this. Judgment is coming. God's patience is running out. And the message is undisputable because Joel chapter 1 verse 1 says, "This is the word of the Lord." And God does not lie. He's a gentleman. You can take him at his word. What God says is so. And the word is universal. It's so interesting in this passage in verse 2, it's for the elders. That means old people. In verse 3, it's for children and grandchildren. That's young people. In verse 5, it's for drunkards. Those are sinners and wicked people. In verses 9 and 13, it's for the priests, the religious people, and the good people. In verse 11, it's for farmers, the working people. And in case we missed a category, twice in this passage, it says it's for everybody, for all who live in the land. This is God's word to everybody. The message is undisputable because it's God's word and it's universal. Thirdly, it's unparalleled. It's a unique message for a unique generation. Joel says in verse 2, "Has anything ever happened like this before?" Implying, no, nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been a generation like this before. And our generation is very unique. There have been things that have happened in my lifetime that have never before happened in human history on a worldwide scale, certainly on a national scale. Let me just pinpoint two that are very significant from God's point of view. The first one was the rebirth of the nation of Israel. After 2,000 years of non-existence, who's ever heard of descendants of an ancient people coming back to their ancient land with their ancient language, reestablishing themselves as a nation in the family of nations? That's a phenomena. And in my lifetime, at this very moment, the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached to the whole world. It doesn't mean that everybody in the world has heard the gospel, but the gospel is being preached in the whole world through the internet, through television, through radio, through ham radio, through printed material, through your first language, your second language, your third language, live presentations. The gospel, for the first time in human history, is being preached in the whole world. You and I are living in a very unique generation. It's never before had a parallel in human history. And the message is underscored by the alarms that are going off. And we'll call them disasters. But Joel lists disasters in just about every category of his nation's life. And I'll just give you what was happening in Joel's day and then try to give you a very brief application. But in verses 2 and 4, it says that there were environmental disasters. There was a locust plague. In our day, we've had Hurricane Katrina. Will you ever forget watching New Orleans disappear from the map? There have been earthquakes, forest fires, floods, snowstorms, tornadoes, droughts. This past week, we've had the storms in the south and the flooding. We've had the storms in Arkansas and Alabama and Oklahoma. And we've always had storms. The thing that's unusual is that they are increasing in frequency, increasing in intensity. You watch how many of them are record-breaking. I went to one weather website, and it said our weather patterns are out of control. Environmental disasters, that's an alarm going off. Social disasters. In Joel's day, it was alcoholism. That's one of the ones he listed. In our day, substance abuse, drugs, alcoholism are also a problem. The number one killer of teenagers is an accident related to alcohol. We spend more money on alcohol than we do on cancer. But we also have, and there's so many social disasters, but Eric Holder has labeled these people that randomly shoot other people as active shooters. And we have had active shooters in Columbine High School, Virginia Tech, Washington Navy Yard, Sandy Hook, Fort Hood, the two Jewish facilities in Kansas City, the Colorado Theater, and the list goes on and on and on. That's a disaster. That's an alarm going off. Financial disaster. In Joel's day, it says wine is snatched from your lips. And wine wasn't a luxury. That was a staple in Joel's day. So from one moment to the next, they did not have what they needed to sustain life. And we are looking at an almost $18 trillion debt. We are looking at economic collapse. Financial disaster. That's an alarm going off. National disaster. In Joel's day, he said, a nation has invaded us. And he was referring actually to a locust plague that came in and destroyed everything. So I was thinking, if a locust plague is like a nation that's invading, what unhuman armies are invading our nation today, destroying our nation? And I thought, pornography is an invading army. Immorality, generational hatred and prejudice, lack of faith in God, lack of fear of God. And listen to me, that's in the church. Outside the church, you have secularism and humanism and atheism and agnosticism. An army is invading, destroying us in the very fabric of our nation. And that's a disaster. It's an alarm going off. There are spiritual disasters. In Joel's day, it says sacrifices have ceased because there was nothing to sacrifice. The land was destroyed. Everything was dried up. And so the people couldn't sacrifice to God. They felt cut off from God. They felt abandoned by God. And every time there's a disaster, people come to me and they say, Ann, where is God? And we feel cut off from God. We feel he's abandoned us. It affects our relationship with God when these disasters take place, we're affected spiritually. That's an alarm going off. Agricultural disaster. In verses 10 to 12, it says the fields are ruined, the ground is dried up, the grain is destroyed. They made their living off of the land. They could no longer work. There was no work to be had. And I thought of our high unemployment rates and people out of jobs or working several jobs or not in a job that they're trained for, just anything to put food on the table. And I thank God for government programs that will take care of us in hard times. But when that becomes a lifestyle, it destroys your self-respect and your sense of self-worth. And that's a disaster. It's an alarm going off. The alarms are going off. Are you waking up? The message seems to me to be unheeded because we keep making excuses for these things. We keep finding other reasons for this. We say it's global warming, or it's a freak of nature, or it's political corruption, or it's corporate greed, or it's lack of education. All those things may factor in, but what Joel saw is what I see also, that behind all of these disasters is the hand of God. And God is trying to wake us up before it's too late. In verse 16, Joel says, "This has been done before our eyes." In other words, these truths are self-evident. Any idiot should be able to get this, to quote a recent speaker. This is an obvious warning. Judgment is coming. God's patience is running out. And that's the word from the Lord. It's time to cry out. It's time to wake up and it's time to cry out. Put aside perfunctory prayers, mechanical prayers, prayers where you just check it off and say, "I've been to the National Day of Prayer." Prayer is not an event. It's not even just words. Prayer is a cry. It's time to cry out. Verse 14, "Call a sacred assembly, summon all who live in the land and cry out to God." How I thank God for the National Day of Prayer, for doing just that. But I've wondered, after 63 years in a row, has it become a program? It's time to cry out. And I praise God for this day, but we don't check off, "I've been to the National Day of Prayer," and then that's that. This is just to bring our focus back to God, that we acknowledge we need God. But it should never become rote or mechanical or just traditional and ritualistic. Do you know what I mean? And so Joel said it's time to cry out with humility. Verse 13, they put on sackcloth. We've already heard about humility. Let me share something else with you. Ezra was a great man of God. He prayed a prayer that God heard and delivered his nation from some compromise that they had been involved in. And Ezra's prayer used plural pronouns. And I think it's time we stop pointing our finger at them. They're sinners. They're dead in their sins. They're just doing what comes naturally, sinning. But you and I are God's people. And Ezra, when he prayed for his nation, he prayed with plural pronouns. He said, "I'm too ashamed and disgraced to lift up my face to you, my God, because our sins are higher than our heads, and our guilt has reached to the heavens." Daniel, in that great prayer in chapter 9 that God heard, and as a result, God delivered Daniel's people from captivity, he prayed with plural pronouns. And he prayed, "We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We are covered with shame." It's not us and them, it's we. There can be no self-righteousness, no judgmentalness. We have sinned and done wrong. We cry out with humility and we cry out with sincerity. In verse 14, you hold a fast Fasting is not just going without food, it's going without anything and everything to make the time for prayer, which is what we've done today. Praise God for you. And all those who are meeting across the country, around the world, setting aside time today to come together in a holy, solemn assembly, fasting from everything else, fasting from your work, your ministry, your email, your cell phone, your family, your housework, whatever it might be, you fast and draw aside and cry out to God with humility, sincerity, and with urgency. Verse 15, Joel says, "The day of the Lord is near." And the day of the Lord is a day of reckoning. It's a day of accountability. It's a day when God's patience runs out. It's a day of God's judgment. And can I say something that's not pleasant and is not popular? God's judgment is ugly when it falls. And He never sneaks up and judges us by surprise. He always, always, always sends warnings, alarms going off to wake us up. And if what we're looking at today are alarms that God is setting off, if what we're looking at today are warnings from heaven that judgment is coming, let me tell you something. The only antidote, the only solution is repentance of sin. Because if it's God's judgment, the answer will not be political or military or economic or education. The answer is to fall on our face before God and cry out to Him in humble repentance of sin. Amen. It's time to repent. I shared last night, I believe, from Scripture that repentance, genuine, deep, heartfelt repentance, is a gift from God. But you can ask Him for it. King David said, "Search me, O God. Try my heart. See if there's any wicked way, not in them, in me." It's time to wake up and cry out with one heart and one voice, "If my people," not them, "if my people called by my name would humble themselves and acknowledge," it's not them. God is looking at you and me. Judgment begins with the house of God. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God promises, I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive your sin, and I will heal your lands." God's word is true, remember? It's undisputable. That's His promise. Praise God. That's His promise to us. And I'm convinced that the only solution to what's going on in America, there are two solutions. One is the return of Jesus Christ to earth, which I believe is imminent. The second is the revival of the hearts of God's people. And revival, somebody asked, where does revival begin? Revival begins when you draw a circle around yourself and you make sure everything inside that circle is right with God. And make no mistake, the only place you get right with God is at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And you come to the cross and you confess your sin and you tell God you're sorry for your sin. Not theirs, ours and mine. And we confess our sin, acknowledge we're sinners and ask God to forgive us. And to cleanse us with the shed blood of Jesus Christ and to come into our hearts and take control of our lives. Draw the circle. Make sure everything inside your circle is right with God, because from God's perspective, you've been to the cross. And I know many of you probably most of you who are here in this room and watching by television, joining in these other groups, you have been to the cross. So I'm going to challenge you on this National Day of Prayer 2014. Let this be a time of rededication when we return to the cross and we come back to the cross and put our faith in the only one who can save us from God's judgment, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time to wake up. It's time to cry out to God. Joel says in verse 19 and 20, "To you, O Lord, I cry." And Joel was crying to the same God that Moses cried to. And when Moses cried out to the Lord, God parted the Red Sea and the Israelites crossed on dry ground. The same God Joshua cried out to and the walls of Jericho fell and the enemy fortress was overcome. The same God that David cried out to and the giant fell and the battle was won. The same God that Elijah cried out to and the fire fell and the priests of Baal were overthrown. The same God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cried out to in the fiery furnace and not one hair of their head was singed. The same God that Daniel cried out to and the mouths of the lions were shut. The same God that our Lord Jesus Christ cried out to from the cross when he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he bowed his head and he gave his life. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead up through all the principalities and powers and seated him on the throne at the right hand of God, put all authority under his feet. Amen. Amen. You and I are crying out to a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not lost his power, and his ear is still bending down to hear his people crying to him. He is a prayer answering, a prayer hearing, a miracle working God. It's time, with one heart and one voice, that we cry out to God, turning from our wicked ways, asking him to hear our prayer, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And you say, "Ann, that's what we've been doing. This is the National Day of Prayer. This is the conclusion of our national observance in Washington, D.C. That's what we've been doing all morning. And so this is my challenge to you. Just because the National Day of Prayer is ending doesn't mean we stop praying. This is the beginning. Now it's up to you. It's up to you to cry out to God. So I challenge you to pray and to keep praying and to keep praying and to keep praying until God in heaven hears our prayer, forgives our sin, and heals our land. Amen. I have been asked to conclude reading the prayer that's printed on the back of your handout. And I'm going to read it. As my understanding, it's being read all across the country, around the world, on the National Day of Prayer observances. It's based on Daniel chapter 9. So would you pray with me, please? Lord of the universe, Lord of this planet, Lord of the nations, Lord of our hearts, on this National Day of Prayer, we look to you. In the darkness, you're our light. In the storm, you're our anchor. In our weakness, you're our strength. In our grief, you're our comfort. In our despair, you're our hope. In our confusion, you're our wisdom. In time of terrorism, you're our shield. In time of war, you are our peace. In times of uncertainty, you're the rock on which we stand. We make our prayer to you using the words of the prophet Daniel. O Lord, you are the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. You are merciful and forgiving. You are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame because we have sinned against you and done wrong. We have turned away from your commands and principles. We have turned away from you. Yet, you have promised in 2 Chronicles 7 that if we, a people identified with you, would humble ourselves, pray, seek your face, and turn from our wicked ways, then you would hear our prayer, forgive our sin, and heal our land. So we choose to stop pointing our finger at the sins of others and examine our own hearts and lives. We choose to acknowledge our own sin, our neglect and defiance and ignorance and even rejection of you. This day, we choose to repent. In response to our heartfelt repentance, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father of Jesus Christ, in keeping with all your righteous acts and according to your promise, turn away your anger and your wrath from the United States of America. Hear the prayers and petitions offered to you on this National Day of Prayer as we give you our full attention. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. For the glory of your name, hear our prayer. Forgive our sin and heal our land. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who offers us salvation from your judgment, forgiveness for our sin, and reconciliation with you through his own blood shed on the cross. Amen and amen.
Father, we join the daughter of Billy Graham and Graham Lotz in her prayers last year at the National Day of Prayer and the message that she brought. Normally, we don't do this on BPN radio. Just felt in my spirit, Lord, that we need it in preparation for the National Day of Prayer tomorrow, that we needed to remind ourselves that we are a nation that desperately needs you. So we cry out for you right now. In Jesus' name, come and help us, Lord, and help us to examine ourselves. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation as we teach transgressors and sinners converted unto thee. So, Father, we pray that you would examine us, and may we, in response to Ann Graham Lotz's appeal last year, may we as Christians, may we who know you, prepare ourselves to take time out tomorrow, even though we pray daily here on BPN Radio 24 hours a day, that we will join Christians and churches all across America tomorrow in fasting and prayer on behalf of our nation that is in desperate need. In desperate need, on the verge of financial collapse, on the verge of calamities, on the verge of violence that is occurring in the streets of our nation. We're only one or two major incidents away from total chaos in many streets in our land. So we pray and we declare that you will come and heal our nation. And we believe that a nation can be saved. We believe it can. Here's Matt Redman.
Can a nation be changed? Can a nation be saved? Can a nation be turned back to you? Should be turned back to you. we're on our knees again. We're on our knees. We're on our knees again, Lord. We're on our knees. We're on our knees again. Let this nation be changed. Let this nation be saved. Let this nation be turned back to you. Let this nation be changed. Let this nation be saved. Let this nation be turned back to you. We're on our
crying out to you, O God, on our knees again, declaring that a nation can be saved, agreeing with Matt Redman that a nation can be saved. And we declare in Jesus' name, Lord, that America is turning back to you. In Jesus' name, as we prepare, O God, for the National Day of Prayer tomorrow in this nation, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray in the name of the Lord that we will take time out of our busy schedule tomorrow to pray, and that businesses will stop their business and employers will take time out together, their employees, to pray and to seek your face. Lord, on behalf of America, standing in the gap, making up the hedge. So that our nation can be healed. So that once again, our nation can be restored. Revival taking place in 1,000 cities. In 1,000 cities in America. So I pray that tomorrow, the National Day of Prayer, that we, your sons and daughters, will respond on behalf of this nation. On behalf of our president and vice president, our Congress, our local house, our governors, for those that are in authority everywhere, for local pastors and churches and people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, would you agree for this nation, preparing our hearts as a nation to seek your face tomorrow, the National Day of Prayer. Lord, I pray today for these prayer leaders across America. I pray for those that are becoming prayer leaders here on the VPN network, as we call for 1,000 prayer groups. I pray in Jesus' name for these churches and prayer groups that are praying with us. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them. I pray for different prayer leaders across America, many of them who are calling different people groups to pray. I pray for them in Jesus' name. I pray for the intercessors that have been in their prayer closet for many years, calling calling for another spiritual awakening in America. I bless these men and women, these intercessors who are travailing, calling on the name of the Lord. I bless them in Jesus' name. And we ask that you bless them. And may they get the harvest of the seed, the prayer seed they've been sowing, in Jesus' name. If my people which are called by my name. And so we humble ourselves. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us by your blood. As we enter to the holy place today, we ask your forgiveness. We repent for our sins. We receive forgiveness, Lord. And we do forgive those that have hurt us, offended us, abused us, misused us, done us wrong, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you just spend a few moments in prayer right now? Just examining your own heart. As Anne Graham Lotz said, drawing a circle around ourselves today, asking the Holy Spirit to search us out. In Jesus' name, cleanse us today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are so thankful today for all of the churches and cities that are praying with us here on BPN Radio, the Breakout Prayer Network. And I would like to welcome some new cities that are praying with us. Cashiers, North Carolina, Wills Point, Texas, Crystal River, Florida, Eastman, Georgia, Melbourne, Florida, Buffalo, Texas, Page, Arizona, and Cory Beach, North Carolina. Also would like to welcome the new churches that are praying with us across America. We now have 1,023 churches. Trinity Chapel Bible Church, Fort Worth, The Light at Mission Viejo, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Trinity West, and Christ Fellowship, West Palm Beach, Florida, Celebration Church, Georgetown, Texas, Community Bible Church, Cashiers, North Carolina, Starlight Ministries, Stillwater, Oklahoma, Wills Point Assembly of God, Wills Point, Texas, Trinity Village Baptist Temple, Eastman, Georgia. We want to welcome Lutheran Church of the Redeemer in Melbourne, Florida, A Jesus Church, Portland, Oregon, Buffalo Assembly of God in Buffalo, Texas, First Assembly of God in Page, Arizona, Cross Church International, Carlsbad, New Mexico, Bannockburn Baptist Church in Austin, Texas, In-House Meetings, Orlando, Florida. We want to welcome all of these new cities and new churches that are praying with us. And remember, if your city is not represented on our 1,000 points of light, you can go to letspray.america.com. That's letspray.america.com, and you can sign up there. Put your name, put the name of your church, and put the name of your city, even if you don't have a church, but you want your city to be represented. You are praying for your city. Then you can do that. You can go to letspray.america.com and sign up. It's such a privilege to be able to lead prayer here on the Breakout Prayer Network, BPN Radio. If you'd like to invest in this ministry, as we call America to pray, and I've been calling this nation to pray for many, many years. I've been a prayer leader, prophetic voice for the past 30 years. If you want to make a donation, you can go to bpnradio.com. That's bpnradio.com. Go down to the bottom of the page, and there is a donate button. You can click on that, use your PayPal credit card. You can use your debit card. You can send us a check made out to Breakout Prayer Network. Your gifts are tax deductible. I just want to say I really, really appreciate you praying with me here on this Wednesday as we prepare for the National Day of Prayer tomorrow. So it's good to have you listening in today on BPN Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time or any time. This is Dale Gentry saying you have a great day. God bless you.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.